The transcript for this episode is brought to you by Seamless Docs.
Seamless Docs is an e-signature and form automation platform that enables governments to go paperless and deliver better online services to citizens and staff.
Hi, I'm Emily Liddell.
And I'm Kyle Cachadorian.
And you're listening to another episode of The Accessible Stall.
Emily, I have a question.
Yes.
Why didn't you introduce yourself as Blindbeard the Pirate?
That's a very, very good question, because that is what I am today.
It's a story time episode.
Oh, my God. Okay, but somehow this is going to bring us around to a point about disability simulations, because everyone needs a moral, right? That's what we need from these episodes.
Yep.
So here's what happened, and I'm going to try to keep this, I guess, somewhat short. And also, oh my God, if you find eye stuff to be disgusting, this is not the episode for you.
Trigger warning, eye stuff.
So anyway, on Friday night, my eye was really bothering me, so I was rubbing at it like a maniac. And then on Saturday morning, it was swollen shut. And so I went to urgent care. Are you already laughing at me?
How do you itch your eye swollen shut?
I don't know. Something nefarious was at play.
Just, if anyone's listening to this, have you ever done that? Have you ever heard of anyone doing that? Me neither. Okay, go on.
I was just rubbing at it really, really hard. So it was swollen shut when I woke up in the morning, but it wasn't really hurting. It was just swollen. So I went to urgent care, and I'm at urgent care, and they're like, oh yeah, you probably have a sty. And I'm like, okay, what do I do? So she gave me antibiotic ointment for my eyeball, right? So then I'm like home for a little while, and all of a sudden my eye starts turning worse. So we're putting compresses on it and we're trying to calm down whatever's going on. And then it gets so bad that it feels like somebody has a knife in my eyeball repeatedly. So we go to the emergency room. And we're at the emergency room, and they're doing all this crap to my eye, and they're all, like, looking at it and poking at it with Q-tips and stuff. So they're like, yeah, we don't know what's wrong with you, but you're fine. Go home. So I go home, and it's still in miserable, terrible pain. Anyway, we went to the ophthalmologist today. Turns out I have a corneal abrasion. God only knows how. Probably did it to myself. So I'm wearing what's known as a bandage contact lens right now. But the point of all of this is that it hurts so much and my eye is so irritated, and your eyes are kind of like somehow interconnected, at least in that when I move my good eye, it still hurts my bad eye right now. So very long story short, I've been blind for the weekend.
I have a question. How did a team of ER professionals miss a scratch on your cornea?
Well, you see, I don't know.
I see, you don't.
Oh, right, correct. Sorry.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, the jokes. I wish I knew, because I'm really annoyed because that screwed my whole weekend. Well, I mean, it's not really their fault.
I hate when I temporarily go blind over the weekend. It really ruins things.
But it got me thinking, as everything in my life always does, about disability. And I was thinking about how this was basically, and still is, some kind of forced blindness simulation. And the moral of that story is that I am still not in support of simulations, because honestly, I have learned nothing from this about what it is really like to be blind. And I feel like this is just lending further proof to my beliefs that simulations accomplish nothing, because all weekend I have just felt so helpless and useless, and I can't do things for myself.
Emily, that has nothing to do with your blindness. That's because you're disabled. Also, I mean, I agree with you. I think empathy exercises are really stupid, and simulation exercises are also really stupid, but I think there's a difference between, like, voluntarily signing up for one and being thrust into one because you scratched your corneas.
Oh, totally. But this is as close as I'm going to get, because I don't believe in doing them in the first place. And all I know is that I have no idea what it's actually like to be a blind person because I haven't been adapting. I've just been whining like a little bit all weekend.
I mean, I don't know either, but I feel like if you spontaneously lost your sight, you'd be doing that for a day or two.
For more than a day or two, sure. Like, I think it just made me realize that, like, if someone breaks their leg and they have to use a wheelchair, like, a short amount of time is not enough time to adapt and figure out the emotional nuances and complexities. It's enough to put you in an incredibly bad mood and be all, woe is me, and learn absolutely nothing about the real day-to-day experiences of someone who has a particular type of disability that you are temporarily experiencing.
I was going to say the same thing. I've never done one of these, but I would assume that it would make you kind of pissed off and angry, and you'd come out of it not being like, huh, the world is inaccessible. You'd come out of it like, huh, I'm glad that's over. Those guys.
Honestly, yeah. And this is not me being able to. No,
I'm not being funny either. Like, I really think that's what's going to happen if you do it for like less than, I don't know, some really long amount of time that no one would want to do it.
Yeah, it's just, oh God. But the point is, I'm not pretending over here, but this really sucks. And I can't go around being like, oh yeah, I was blind for a weekend, so I get it. No, I'm just cranky and annoyed. I don't actually understand what your experiences are like.
I don't understand what you're experiencing right now either, because cranky and annoyed is your default state.
Right, but like extra cranky and annoyed. Take my default state in quadruple it.
Jesus.
All I'm saying is this is unintentionally reaffirming my belief that simulations are a terrible idea because you're just never going to actually understand a person's life experience. And if you're in a wheelchair for a weekend, you ain't gonna understand mine. If I'm struggling to see for a weekend, I ain't gonna understand yours. It just doesn't work.
Not for that amount of time. I think, like, hypothetically, if you gave a person a long enough time scale that they could sort of begin to understand what it would be like, I don't know what that amount of time would be, but certainly not over a weekend.
Yeah. Like, I had a friend who had a project in college where she had to use a wheelchair for a day and try to get around on public transportation. And she told me she got so fed up trying to get on the Washington, D.C. Metro that she stood up and lifted the chair over the gap.
Wait, the Washington, D.C. Metro is like the ideal place to do that.
Yep.
It's ridiculous.
And I was like, you're annoyed? Try living my life. And then I was like, yeah, see, you're not getting the point here. Because first of all, I don't want you to feel bad for me. I just want you to be mad at the system.
I have a friend who occasionally, like, just as a, not a joke, like it's a serious thing, but in jest, hosts these blind movie nights. She's blind. Did I say that? I have a friend who's blind who occasionally hosts these blind movie nights where, like, they'll watch a movie and, like, as soon as it starts, you have to put a blindfold on if you can see, and then you can't take it off until after the credits are over, even if you have to pee. And she does that just to show people the importance of audio description. But it ends up being funny for everyone who can see. And meanwhile, she's the one getting the last laugh. But I something like that to me wouldn't necessarily count as an exercise so much as it is, you know, jokes amongst friends. I don't really know how useful that would be as like a practical application of what it is to be blind.
I mean, it's kind of making me think of Bird Box and how everyone was doing the Bird Box challenge.
Okay, that challenge was stupid, but that movie was great. Fight me.
I actually haven't seen it, so I have no idea. But
I don't think you'd like it. It's not your kind of movie. I was mainly talking to the people.
The people. I mean, and now I feel like I'm going to have people come after me and be like, oh, now you're an expert on simulations because you were blind for a weekend. And it's like, no, that's really not my point here.
No, but I think that there's some validity to that because that's how long a simulation would last anyway. I mean, you'd have to do a few of them, but I would say after a few of them, you are an expert in why simulations are bad.
Yeah, it's not like I'm saying I'm an expert in blindness.
But that's your point, isn't it?
Exactly.
The simulation isn't Yeah.
I have always wanted to talk about simulations on the podcast anyway, because I feel really strongly against them, and I always have. And this just sort of unintentionally is affirming the fact that rather than a feeling of empathy, it's just evoked this feeling of helplessness. Because, like, I was eating a bowl of pasta, and then I realized there were only a few pieces of pasta left, but I couldn't find them with my fork. So I had to ask my dad to help me find the pasta. And I was like, I just feel like a helpless blob. And that's not how blind people are.
That's how you are, though. That's
right.
You.
I'm a helpless
blob. You are a helpless blob, whether or not you are blind.
And it's the same thing with, like, being in a chair, where it's like, if you're in a chair for a weekend, you know, I'm not suddenly a helpless blob because I'm sitting down. I'm a helpless blob because I'm lazy, but, you know.
Disability be damned. That has nothing to do with it.
Simulations annoy me. And I think, leave it to me to take a random one in a gazillion chance of scratching my own eyeball out to turn it into a podcast episode. But you know me, everything's about disability.
How do I know you didn't do this on purpose for that sweet, sweet content?
You're right, I did. I do a lot of things for the content. Like, injure myself miserably.
How itchy was your eye?
I think maybe there was an eyelash in it or something. And then I just rubbed my eye into oblivion. Yep. Going through life with one eye open, except neither eye is open right now. I realized podcasting is a thing I can do without seeing.
You really couldn't put that together before?
Nope. That's where we're at.
Maybe you did need the simulation exercise.
Oh, God. Think this should not be called simulations. I think this should be called Emily's Life is a Mess.
I'm calling it Storytime 4, which is probably much better than Toy Story 4, which I haven't seen yet, but I heard it was bad.
Terrible. It was not good. Let's just put it this way. We had an 8-year-old with us, my 8-year-old neighbor, and she kept standing up every, like, 5 minutes and being like, how much minutes is left?
Oh, wow. That doesn't, like, bode well.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's bad if
your exact intended audience is like, this is weird.
Although, speaking of disability stuff, man, my mom was not happy with Toy Story 4. She was so not happy with it that she tweeted about it all by herself.
What on earth? Do I even want to know?
So, apparently, and I agree with her, she thinks that it sends the message that if you're defective, no one will love you, because there's this whole premise with a toy that has a broken little voice box, and she believes that that's the reason why no one has taken her off the shelf, because her voice box doesn't work.
Didn't they already do that with the penguin in Toy Story 2? They really are running out of ideas.
Ugh, they shouldn't have made a fourth one. But anyway, my mom was so salty about that. She tweeted all by herself.
That's really funny.
Just to complain that Toy Story 4 is perpetuating the message that you can't be loved if you're defective. Which, honestly, not a great message. But then somebody got real, real mad at her on Twitter and was like, no, it's sending a message that organ donation is a good thing.
I don't think it's, I haven't seen it yet, so I might be completely wrong, but that seems a little bit too weird for Pixar.
It is, because a bunch of creepy dolls corner Woody and knock him out and steal his voice box. But yep, spoilers. Organ donation.
Jesus.
Okay, other content warning, Toy Story 4 spoilers, Toy
Story 4. We really have to, like, put that up there.
It's not a good movie. It doesn't matter.
I don't know. But Emily, I just got to tell you, this is the funniest thing I've heard all month.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah. Thank you for scratching your corneas. It really means a lot to me.
I'm in so much pain. I'm glad you enjoy it.
No, I don't like that. I don't even like the fact that you're blind. I just like all the stuff that is happening to you because of it all.
Yeah, I've just been knocking things over and spilling things and being a general mess. But then I realized I do that when I can see, so...
Yeah.
Not much is different.
Except it's a lot darker in here. We have a lot of blind fans. Are they going to be pissed at us?
I hope that they know that this is all in jest and that, honestly, it's more just me recounting an experience.
I'm sure. They're all decent people.
And if they do get mad at me, then I sincerely apologize.
She's just not used to this.
Right. But then again, like somebody using a wheelchair or who wears noise canceling headphones and earplugs for a weekend is also not used to it and is not going to get anything practical or useful out of it. The only simulation exercise that I think ever really proved a point to me was drunk driving.
Oh, see, I was going to say smoking, where they make you like breathe through a straw.
What? I've never had to do that.
Have to. You don't have to. They, you know, something.
No,
they
I mean, like, I never had to do that in like a health class or anything.
Oh, they made us do it. It was like, I mean, I never ever wanted to smoke cigarettes or pretty much anything else, but like that would that would have made me change my mind, I think, if I was one of those kids that really wanted to do that.
Although, is that then, even though it's supposed to be about smoking, ableist in a sense, because there are people who do have breathing disabilities that have nothing to do with smoking?
I mean, technically, I suppose, but I think it's different because this is something where it's like, look, if you do this, you will end up this way. Whereas if it's a disability, it's probably something that you either were born with or have had for a while. So it's, I don't think it's in the same, I think the context matters, but yeah, I suppose you're technically correct. Sure.
Maybe she's born with it.
Maybe it's Maybelline. What did you say?
Maybe it's emphysema.
Oh, that's a good one. That's the Instagram clip for this.
You shouldn't let me talk when I'm in pain. You really shouldn't.
Well, it was your idea to do this episode, Emily.
Yep, you're right. It was.
Oh, my goodness.
All this that talk kind of smoking made me thirsty. Anyway.
Yeah, that's a normal reaction.
But the drunk driving simulation, so I think I did that when I was in health class in middle school. They give you the goggles
right.
that simulate drunk night driving.
Uh-huh.
And I was using my walker at the time, and I tried to get my walker in between, like, a pole in the classroom and the teacher's desk, and I smashed right into the pole. And I was like, this is why you don't drive drunk.
That is...
And that was, like, very effective.
Yeah, that would do it.
I feel like that's maybe the only useful simulation I can really think of.
But I feel like... Okay, so I'm not going to defend them because I don't like them either. But, like, for all I know, sitting in a wheelchair for a weekend, or, I mean, I don't think that's enough time at all, but, like, for all I know... That could have an effect on someone that the drunk driving thing had on you. Except in that situation, I would say, I'm imagining it not sending the message that this isn't how you want to live your life. And instead, I'm being optimistic and assuming that somebody realizes how inaccessible the world is. But for all, you know, for all anyone knows, that could maybe have touched a person at some point. I don't know. I still don't like them, though.
Okay, I have thought about that. And I do know that sometimes that is the takeaway. What are you going to do with that takeaway is my question.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not really up to you. It's up to the person.
Right, but I'm saying, what are you hoping to accomplish? What are simulation exercises supposed to accomplish? Because they're often meant to accomplish empathy. But the thing is, I don't want empathy. I want access. And... I suppose best case scenario for a simulation exercise would be if you were simulating a particular disability while being accompanied by someone who actually had that disability, and you sort of learned some of the ins and outs of where they hit access issues, And maybe when you're done, let's say you're like a business owner or something, you use it to sort of fix those pain points around your business. So then I can see that being practical. But I feel like if anything, it just evokes this reaction of, man, I feel bad for that person. I wouldn't want to be in their shoes.
Yeah, I mean, the simulation exercises that you've described, and the one that I described too with the smoking, like, those are all meant to deter you from doing the thing that they're demonstrating. Yeah, and so what does it say if, like, you're doing that, you know, if your version of that is wearing a blindfold or plugging your ears or sitting in a wheelchair?
Exactly. It just sends some kind of a message that this is bad. And I remember back in college when I really started to become uncomfortable with the idea of simulations. One thing that really got me was a girl who was a resident advisor in my dorm asked if she could borrow my wheelchair for a simulation exercise for like an obstacle course. And I was like, oh, you want to borrow my very expensive piece of medical equipment to do your little exercise? No.
See, to me, though, see, that's the kind of person that, like, needs it, right? Because that person's so dense that they don't even realize that that's your method of ambulation, or of mobility, not ambulation.
I told her to go to health services and use one of their wheelchairs or whatever, but then I thought about it some more, and I realized that I don't want people doing an obstacle course to try to understand what my life is like, because that's a very limited and not at all nuanced understanding of my experience. And then on top of that,
what? Life is totally an obstacle course.
Of course it is, but like, they don't need to know that.
But they would if they did. See, this is what it is. It's got nothing to do with like or dislike. You just don't want them to know that this is an accurate representation of what it's like to be you.
You're right. I want them to live with an air of mystery around me. But it also bothered me, I remember, and I guess this kind of harkens back to the drunk driving simulation. So at my college, Disability Awareness Week was juxtaposed with Alcoholism Awareness Week. So, like, there was Alcoholism Awareness Week on the calendar, and then the week after with Disability Awareness Week. And I've talked to a couple people who do consider alcoholism a disability, so I've kind of had to think through my argument about this a little bit. But the larger point that I wanted people to realize is that disability is not something that you need to go have fixed, or that is a problem in the same way that alcoholism is. And I was not comfortable with that juxtaposition.
Me neither. That's a little bit weird. And by a little bit, I mean extremely. Like, that's one of those things where it's like, it's sort of like subconscious, like, not in the literal sense, but like, you sort of like, oh, so what? They're just 2 weeks next to each other, right? But like, you don't know what kind of impression seeing that, if you're someone who's like impressionable and young, would think. Who knows?
Not to mention, I don't want you to be aware of me.
What do you want?
I mean, I do. But not like that.
What do you want?
Access. When do you want it? Now.
What do we want? Time travel. When do we want it? Doesn't matter. I see your point. I do. But like, if you're someone, I think what you're talking about works for a certain kind of people. I think the people who need empathy exercises and simulation exercises and all that stuff that we all like, that we're all hating on right now, those people are so far removed from your mere existence that they literally can't comprehend how someone like you might live. So to say, oh, I don't need you to be aware of me, I need access, they're like, yeah, that's true. But the people who need those exercises aren't people who can give you access, because they don't even know about you. And I don't mean you, Emily. I mean, like, people like us at all. So for those people, I think awareness is very important. But also, I would say there's a bajillion and one ways to do awareness better than, hey, sit in this wheelchair for a weekend. So,
Yeah, like, I don't know, maybe have an actual conversation with me.
No, and you can't do that. Don't be ridiculous.
Right. You're right. That was a silly suggestion. Have we really never talked about this before on the podcast?
No. But you know what? Nothing like going blind to spark up a good old brainstorming meeting on what to do.
This is honestly like the most distracted I've been from the pain pretty much all weekend. So I'm grateful for it, even if people think this is just a hot mess of an episode.
I don't think it's a hot mess of an episode, just like a mess, like a Marie Kondo situation needs to happen. But that's what editing's for.
I mean, but the thing about Marie Kondo is that you're supposed to decide if it sparks joy, and this episode sparks joy.
But does your corneal scratch spark joy?
Nope.
Well.
And neither does our garbage trash healthcare system, because.
Where did that come from?
How does urgent care and the emergency room miss this?
I mean, maybe they have corneal scratches too. I don't, I have no idea.
God.
Yeah, I went there. I made a disability joke.
Oh, man. Yeah, healthcare is terrible. Everything's terrible. My eyeball hurts. Do you have any stories you'd like to share?
Which eye is it?
It's the left eye.
I don't know why. It doesn't
left
matter.
Eye Lopez, right? Is that a person?
Yeah, is she dead?
Lisa Left Eye Lopez, is that it? She was on an NSYNC song.
Yeah, she was. That's exactly the only reason I know her. I don't even remember the song. I just remember what a ridiculous name that is.
Space Cowboy.
Oh, God. Yep.
Which is a great song, actually.
Yeah. No, I actually don't have any story, at least not one to compete with that.
Why not? Why am I always the one who has all the stories? That's not true.
Yeah, it's not true. But today you are. I've never scratched my corneas.
I don't recommend it.
Based on what you've told me, it sounds like a bad time.
Would not recommend at all.
Just so you know, I mean, you guys can't see us, pun fully intended, but Emily is sitting in a completely, what looks to me like a pitch dark room, and I am not. Her injury is real. Allegedly.
It's real, allegedly. Thanks, Kyle.
Well, I mean, I don't know. For all I know, you could be sitting there in the dark just like, oh, yeah, my cornea is scratched. Sure it is. I forgot to turn the light switch on.
No.
I don't need your medical records. Your mom came in earlier. I know it's real. Please.
My poor parents have been at my beck and call all weekend, and I feel terrible. I don't know that anybody else is going to want to listen to this episode, but it was very therapeutic for me.
I don't know. I think it was pretty funny.
Do we have final takeaways for this nonsense?
Yeah, I'm going to try really hard not to scratch my corneas.
Oh, my God. Yeah, safety first, everyone. Wait, I can't see the screen. How long have we been going?
Just about long enough. 33 minutes.
What? We've been talking about this for 33 minutes?
Yeah. How long did it feel like?
I truly have no concept of time right now.
My God, you lose your sight for 5 minutes and you can't even. It's only been 5 minutes. You know that, right? You scratched your cornea 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And you don't even know how long a half hour is. What is wrong with you?
I've been sitting with my headphones plugged into my phone, listening to Bon Appetit videos on YouTube all day and alternately waking up and falling asleep.
It's either been 5 minutes or 5 years. I mean, because of these corneas, I really can't tell you which one.
No, I mean, I'm being very dramatic. Like, I've been able to open my eyes for like a hot minute just to get a glimpse at something.
Is one of your eyes gross looking right now? Like, is there like a...
Yeah, it's really... It looks like a red spider web.
Oh, that's awesome. That is so great.
I would like to thank the good people out in the land of the internet for indulging us this episode.
I would like to thank Emily for being a good sport.
Oh, I would also like to say that my final takeaway is stop it with the simulations. They don't make any sense. They don't work. I don't know a damn thing about being blind.
Anyway, my final takeaway is, yeah, empathy exercises suck. I mean, I'm sure you all knew that, but like, it's about time we did an episode on those. And
yeah, don't
try
do
not to scratch your cornea.
Yeah. Oh my God. Please take care of your eyeballs.
You only got two of them, unless you don't, in which case you only have as many as you have. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
And might we say, you look good today. Actually, I have no idea how Emily looked today, because I can't see her. And she can't see me either.
How anybody looks today.
So, but you know what? One thing's for sure, though. You definitely look good today.